What is the current state of the Baltimore Ravens? We talk about their offense, we talk about their defense, and more coming up next here in this episode of Locked On Ravens.
You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your host, Kevin Ostrich of Ravens Wire. We're here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you so much for tuning in with us today, making us your first listen. We're free and available on all platforms, including over on YouTube and video form. And today's episode of Locked On Ravens is brought to you by Ultimate Football GM. If you've ever dreamed of becoming an NFL general manager or managing your football franchise, this game is definitely for you. Download the game. This is at ultimate-gm.com or look it up on the App Store. Our listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using promo code Locked On in all caps in the game. And we're back here. We're talking state of the Ravens with a very special guest, Bobby Trossett from over at The Vault Podcast, another daily venture over there. Plenty of great Ravens content out there, so be sure to like and subscribe to us and like and subscribe to them over there at The Vault. But Bobby, this is an offseason for the Ravens, I think, super important, super pivotal for them. And there are a lot of questions. Lamar Jackson, who's the next offensive coordinator going to be? There's a lot to talk about when you're talking about a holistic, where is this team at right now and what's their overall state?
Oh, for sure. And, you know, first and foremost, obviously, Kev, thanks for having me on again. There's no shortage of content, as we always kind of laugh and joke about, but hopefully we're going to keep this Ravens fan base busy and occupied for the next several months of off season. Cause, you know, I have a feeling that the first couple months are going to feel like anything but, based on the way this news cycle is going. And obviously this offensive coordinator search has to be wrapped up at some point in the near future, because there's a lot that rides on this decision, you know, and ultimately, if I'm one of these candidates, whether it's internal, external, question number one is, who's my quarterback, you know, and what is his future in Baltimore? They don't know. They may have an inkling, you know, but what I really gathered from the end of season press conference was, while there was absolutely optimism and hope and positivity and excitement, there was also lines dropped from EDC like, it takes two to tango. We've heard that before. And so I don't know what we have to believe at this point, that anything's going to change along the lines of Lamar's philosophy when it comes to betting on himself. And so I just sit here and say to myself, I feel like he's franchise tag bound, you know, and he's going to continue, in a sense, like Kirk Cousins did. He's going to continue to bet on himself in the short term while making great short term money. But obviously long term, when you look at his peers and what they've earned over the course of, gosh, as much as a decade in Patrick Mahomes' case, he's a bargain, you know. And so that's question number one. And it's hard for me to sit here and think that without that resolved, at least in the short term, how are they going to be able to reel in a sexy, attractive offensive coordinator and a game-changing wide receiver when their star quarterback's future is completely in limbo? And so that's what I've been wrestling with really since offseason began.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the franchise tag, which it is a very real possibility that that is the route that both sides have to take if there's not an agreement. I mean, do you think Lamar would play on the franchise tag? There's a question of, you know, whether he would want to, again, risk anything happening to him, you know, either with a serious injury or something else that maybe impacts a long-term deal. I think Lamar, even if he gets injured, still gets paid. You know, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Some team will pay him, whether it is the Ravens or whether it's someone else. But if the Ravens have to give Lamar the franchise tag and they say, hey, this is what we're going to do, do you think Lamar even plays on it?
Well, to your point, he's going to get paid, right? It's just a matter of which organization is going to write the check. But at the same time, if he were to play on the franchise tag, I think this is important to keep in mind. While the two plays that have sidelined him in crunch time, back-to-back years down the stretch, were freak plays, as him being a quarterback, flushed out of the pocket both times because they were poorly protected sequences. I think we should also keep in mind that if he were to play on the franchise tag in for let's say he's injured for a third consecutive year, knock on wood. I got wood right in front of me. I'm knocking on it with both hands. Okay. All of a sudden, what he would have been paid prior probably looks a lot different than what he would be paid after three straight years of injuries, regardless of how they're sustained, whether it's in the pocket, outside the pocket, being a dual threat quarterback like he is, you know, with his electrifying elusiveness and all that great stuff that we've come to love over the years. I just think that's important for him to be mindful of in this moment, you know, like, wow, my value, if I go ahead and play on this tag and God forbid something happens to me again for a third straight season, my value is going to take a hit. So while we've been given reason to believe that because of how much of a unicorn he is, yes, on the field, but off the field with the way he goes about his negotiation process and he and his mother and the camp that they have, not having a traditional agent involved, I don't know, man. It's even a bigger risk than what he's already done. And that's saying something, you know, because his long-term value is at stake. And every year that he puts himself at risk, that big number, right? That huge, huge number starts to dwindle, at least in my estimation. You never know. There's a lot of desperate franchises out there, as we've seen, that need quarterbacks. You know, we all know what happened last offseason with Cleveland. But that is something that I do wonder in the coming weeks, in the coming months, when things start to kind of pick back up, which maybe they already have negotiation-wise. I wonder if he looks himself in the mirror and says, or somebody gets in his ear and says, listen, man, You got to look at what's taken place over the last couple of years, and that should dictate the way you go about this process, because that's reality. You haven't been available down the stretch, regardless of how you sustain the injuries.
Right, and again, it is important to note, and I agree with your points there, Bobby, that the injuries that Lamar suffered here, they weren't his fault or anything, right? It's not Lamar's fault he got injured, and the way that he approached this year, getting back on the field, there have been plenty of questions about it, but at the end of the day, the knee wasn't ready. You know, you can't tempt fate with that, especially if you're Lamar, where you're saying, you know, I'm not going to put myself out there if I'm at 60% and risk re-injury in that situation. So I know there have been a lot of questions about that, but at the same time, for the Ravens, you kind of look at what happened with the Dak Prescott situation in Dallas, where he got seriously injured and he still got paid a boatload of money. So I do think that, you know, an injury situation for Lamar in 2023, that's definitely like a worst case, both if Lamar plays for the Ravens, both for the franchise and for Lamar. But we'll see what happens, because it's one of the more polarizing situations. I thought Lamar was going to be the first quarterback paid from that draft class. It ended up being Josh Allen. And that deal now, Bobby, looks like an absolute steal based off what Buff, even the Patrick Mahomes deal at this point, kind of looks like a steal based off of where the quarterback market has gone and seemingly is heading with everything going on. But it's one of the biggest storylines. When you talk about the state of the Ravens, obviously it kind of starts and ends with Lamar, but there are deeper things you can talk about, especially with offense, where at the end of season press conference, you know, John Harbaugh, Eric DaCosta talked about that offense a little bit, where the wide receiver room was a point that was brought up. They said they're going to look into that position, but they said that, you know, that's really the only position where they might have to look. And I agree with them. I mean, look, running back wise, you got J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, even Justice Hill. You could talk about the tight ends with Mark Andrews. We got really promising Isaiah Likely and Charlie Kohler snaps this year. The offensive line, based off where we were last offseason, Bobby, tons of improvement considering what happened with Alejandro Villanueva, the center questions. So you look at wide receiver. You can even talk about fullback. I mean, they have Patrick Ricard at the fullback position, but wide receiver's been that one that has been the question mark for really the entire organizational history, for the most part, of the Ravens. And they talked about how, yeah, they're going to look at it. Do you believe them this time around, though? Because I think we've kind of heard something similar before. So the question is this the offseason where the Ravens finally maybe go in and for Lamar, if he's in Baltimore, get him that number one?
Well, it better be, boy. It better be, you know. And if that's not the biggest takeaway from the end of season press conference, I don't know what to tell you, you know, whether it's a smokescreen or not. They wanted to be very clear I mean, heck, even throw smokescreen aside, man. They got to understand the writing is on the wall in terms of what's holding this offense back. What's holding Lamar Jackson back? You know, it's 2023 now. You need a true bona fide number one wide receiver that's going to scare you. You know, it's going to scare opponents and defenses through the air from a vertical passing attack standpoint. And they just have not had that. You know, Rashad Bateman is unproven through two NFL years. He has been unavailable at times. And so you wonder, he's got all the upside in the world, right? Ton of talent, silky route runner, great pair of hands. But it's just a matter of, can he stay available? I still don't believe that he's capable of being a number one. I think he'd be a phenomenal number two. And we all know that Devin Duvernay is probably a complimentary piece as well. Maybe D-Rob sticks around in a veteran minimum capacity if he wants to win. If he sees a good fit in Baltimore, I think he'd be a great, you know, fourth option in Baltimore, maybe even as high as a third option. But, you know, look, Kev, that at this point, I don't know how we could sit here and come up with a scenario in which the Ravens feel like they could continue with this philosophy, you know, because the writing is more than on the wall. It's plastered all over the wall. I mean, come on, man. It's just, they don't scare you. And I think what told me everything there is to know in that wild card game was seeing Mark Andrews lined up on the outside. I mean, like, are you kidding me? You don't trust anybody in your wide receiver room in the wild card game in a do or die situation to be your guy as a pass catcher aside from your tight end, which, again, no disrespect to Mark Andrews, but he's not a wide receiver. He has a different body. He's built differently than a wide receiver. And so I think what this comes down to, when you take a look at the reality of what the front office is going to have to be willing to do in order to go get their guy, and we don't know who it's going to be. We obviously have heard a lot of DeAndre Hopkins waves. They've been linked, the two parties, in the past, but we haven't heard any rumblings so far, in at least at the time of this taping on January 24th. So we got to keep that in mind. But let's just look at what Dez Bryant said. And I know he's a polarizing figure, controversial guy, super outspoken online. But I thought, and I just recently put together a video about this on my channel, I thought he had some compelling points over the divisional round weekend on Twitter about how the Ravens should consider building their team, or at least spending this offseason building their wide receiver room the way that Philadelphia has in the last year or so. And basically what Howie Roseman, their GM, was willing to do was give up significant draft capital the week of the draft in order to go get A.J. Brown. And while there's so many other pieces that have contributed, obviously at the top, Jalen's MVP caliber season at the quarterback position, what changed them and what put them over the top was bringing in A.J. And so the 18th and 101st overall selections in the 2022 draft is what was required to go get a true number one. As you know, for the first time in what feels like forever, at least right now, before Eric DaCosta does any wheeling and dealing, which we should never rule out, they only have 5 picks. They don't have a ton of draft capital coming up in April. And so they're a little limited in that capacity. We all know that there's always ways to manipulate the system, to manipulate the cap, to restructure deals, to obviously orchestrate trades in exchange for picks, which I think all that has to be on the table. But for right now, I think the overarching, not to ramble here, but to me, the biggest takeaway about what they need to do and what they need to be willing to do is give up some of that valuable draft assets in order to go get a guy, or be willing to part ways with some of the key pieces on this roster in an effort to, you know, go get a guy that I think we both agree would potentially put this offense over the top and really give Lamar, assuming that he's in Baltimore, a piece that he has not had in 5 years.
Right, and I know we always talk about the comparisons of, look at what the Bills did for Josh Allen, look at what the Cardinals have done for Kyler Murray, and you mentioned Hurts and the Eagles, and, you know, all these conversations. Well, the Ravens have spent the draft capital, right, that they acquired Marquise Brown in the first round of 2019. They go and they select Rashad Bateman in the first round of 2021. But in terms of getting that proven guy, as you talked about, that stud number one who has done it at the NFL level and who is ready now. I mean, to me, Bobby, I'm looking at this offense and I'm saying, well, what if you kind of, I think Rashad Bateman still does have wide receiver one potential. What if you could have him as your wide receiver two for the next couple of seasons and kind of have him as that high end type guy who can then develop behind the DeAndre Hopkins? But then it becomes who's available, right? Is DJ Moore going to become made available by the Panthers? It seems more like a long shot that happens, but is there going to be a star that's worth giving up that 22nd overall pick? So we're going to talk about the draft though in our second segment. We'll come right back with that. So be sure to stay tuned. Still a lot to talk about here on Locked On Ravens. But first, this episode is brought to you by Ultimate Football GM, and you've heard me talk about this mobile game app, and I can't tell you how much fun that I've had competing against my fellow Locked On NFL host. Chris Carter of Locked On Steelers was the Locked On NFL champion, and I didn't come in first, third place, and I did want to win, but unfortunately it didn't happen. But now it's your turn to compete, but more on that later. If you've ever dreamed of becoming an NFL general manager or managing your football franchise, your dream can come true, and this game is definitely for you. You'll manage every strategic aspect of your team, play through seasons, and lead your team to glory trying to build a dynasty. With Ultimate Football GM, you're responsible for controlling the destiny of your franchise by hiring the right coaches and coordinators, trading players, navigating your franchise through free agency and the draft, and all the ups and downs of a season. And it really is a very in-depth game where you can have tons of fun making all these different types of moves, and you can compete with your friends or your family and all this in a challenging, realistic game world. Ultimate Football GM is completely free and playable offline. You can play on the go as you want and when you want to. We've created Locked On Leagues for you to compete against Locked On fans all over the world. Can you be the ultimate Locked On Football GM? Choose a Locked On League in the app to join, and can you create a football dynasty in that league? Locked On Ravens listeners get a 100% free boost of their franchise when using the promo code Locked On in all caps in the game store. That's Locked On in all caps. Make sure to check it out today. To download the game, visit ultimate-gm.com or look it up on the app stores. That's ultimate-gm.com. Ultimate Football GM, start your dynasty today. We're back here, our second segment of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Allstriker still here with Bobby Trossett of The Vault. And Bobby, you talked about the Ravens and you made a great point. Only five picks right now. They have the 22nd overall pick. They can do some willing and dealing. You talked about it with Eric DaCosta. He is no stranger and he is not shy about throwing some draft capital on the table, moving up and down the draft boards. It seems to me when talking about the state of the team, just kind of like how they're going to manipulate drafts, especially if Lamar stays in Baltimore, with that huge deal, you're going to have to hit on a lot of your draft picks, especially in the mid to later rounds. And Baltimore's done that. I'm not saying they haven't. They've been historically good at drafting in the mid to late rounds. But you see 22, you see them having five picks and also not in line to get any compensatory picks because they signed Marcus Williams and Morgan Moses during the 2022 offseason. So this is kind of what they're working with right now. Do you feel like 22 is like the perfect trade down spot for them? Or would you rather see them make that pick, only have five picks, and kind of maneuver it that way?
Yeah, well, you know, first and foremost, obviously they could use, like you said a little while ago, they could certainly use that 22nd overall pick in a potential deal to acquire, you know, their true number one guy. Obviously it's going to take more than just one first round pick, depending on who it is. I mean, we just mentioned in the first segment, right? AJ Brown took two big time picks, 18 and 101 overall. So just keep that in mind. And that's like a true number one. I'm not sure DeAndre Hopkins would dictate that kind of draft capital right now, just because he's a little bit older than AJ and he's had some durability issues. And obviously the stuff off the field that led to a suspension in 2022. But yeah, I mean, I could certainly see that being the case, but as we all know, it all depends on how the first 10, 15, maybe even 20 picks shake out. You know, they're going to be looking at their board, and let's be honest, we could all probably sit here and say easily months away from April and be like, oh, easily it's either going to be a wide receiver or cornerback. There's no way it's any other position. Well, didn't we think that would be the case in a similar situation in the second round back in the 2020 draft when they had Mark Ingram, when they had Gus and Justice, and they're coming off their, you know, literally historical rushing season? There's no way they're selecting a running back. Well, here comes J.K. Dobbins, somewhere around the mid-50s range, right? We're all like, are you kidding me? So they're always going to go with their philosophy of selecting best available versus need, you know, at least more often than not at the higher picks. So I still feel like, you know, it's a little bit too early to try and forecast how they're going to handle that. But we all know that they're going to stick to their values when it comes to that. But at the same time, look, I'm with you, right? The end of season press conference, they said, we love what our offense looks like right now. We love the depth that we have, but we also understand that the wide receiver room needs to be built. I mean, it just does. Not rebuilt, because they have a couple good pieces, but at the top, they need their key piece. And so I think it's just abundantly clear what needs to happen. Like, to me, there's no smokescreen involved here. It's obvious. Go look at the statistical rankings. That's all you need to look at in order to figure out what they need to do. It's just going to be a matter of, how are they doing it? Is it via the draft? Is it via free agency? You know, is it via trade? What's it going to be? Let's see.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the saying, you're better late than never, you know, you could probably argue the Ravens should have done something like this a very long time ago, especially for Lamar, and kind of maximize on that rookie deal. And I don't necessarily think their philosophy of trusting their young guys was misplaced wholeheartedly. But at the same time, you knew going into that season, Bobby, they could not afford to lose Rashad Bateman at all. They could not afford to lose Devin Duvernay at all. And they lost both of them. They couldn't even lose one, and they lost both. So that's the risk they took there. And on top of it, we didn't see a jump from James Prochet. We didn't see a jump from Tylan Wallace. It was only really the Duvernay jump, and Bateman had obviously the flashes early on as well. But then you lost both those guys, and at the end of the season, it was DeMarcus Robinson as your wide receiver one. You had to put in a claim for Sammy Watkins. So I think that it was refreshing to hear them talk about how they need to rebuild that room. But I'm looking forward to see if they do it, you know, to see if this is actually the year that they do it. But on the defensive side of the ball, there are a couple of questions, but I like where they are there too, especially with what we saw over the course of the season. Honestly, it took Mike McDonald a couple weeks to settle in the defense, a couple weeks, but then obviously the addition of Roquan Smith and everything just took off from there in terms of what they were able to do. But I know the big question, and John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta were asked about it, was the cornerback room and what they're going to do there. Because you look at it kind of in a vacuum, Bobby, Marlon Humphrey's Marlon Humphrey, you know, had a great year for them in 2022, bounce back season. But then Marcus Peters, a down year, very inconsistent, I would say. And then you're relying on guys like Brandon Stevens, who I will give Brandon Stevens credit, did step up in moments this year. But then it was Jalen Armour Davis, who we didn't really see a ton out of, goes on injured reserve. Pepe Williams had some good moments, some bad. So you're kind of talking about, like, this is almost the wide receiver room of the defense, except the difference is the Baltimore invests. They invest heavy in their secondary, money-wise, draft capital-wise. So my question to you, Bobby, is what should they do cornerback-wise? And honestly, what do they do with Marcus Peters? Do they bring him back on a team-friendly deal? My perfect scenario, I'll kind of lay this out, is they take a corner in the first round, like a Joey Porter Jr. They re-sign Marcus Peters to like a team friendly deal. You know, I don't think you can give him like $10 million per year anymore. I think if you can put him in that Jimmy Smith role, I think that's what's perfect for him. Then maybe bring in somebody else, and then you can have Pepe Williams and Jaron Armour Davis kind of at the tail end of that room.
Ooh, boy, well, just to pick up where you left off there with those last two guys, I mean, you talk about unproven. You know, I think Pepe is obviously the guy who they trust more, both in special teams capacity and obviously in somewhat of a, you know, limited capacity at the corner role when needed. But Jalen just wasn't ready for the moment this year. You know, that's just straight up what it was, you know. And then obviously durability and injury became a problem for his rookie year. It really ended up being kind of a lost rookie year for him. So from a depth standpoint, I don't know if I feel great about those two players, at least as of right now, but I also understand that they're rookies and they were mid to late round picks. So I also, you know, I guess some patience should come along with those two facts. But yeah, I mean, look, you know, for Marcus, we both know that he has been extremely upfront about how Baltimore has sort of reignited his love for football and he feels at home here. So knowing how much of a drop-off, and it was a pretty significant drop-off. Matter of fact, I think I saw a statistic that he was actually top five, which is really top five worst, you know, among cornerbacks league wide in terms of coverage yards allowed this year. And a lot of those were on the, you know, the front end of the season where he was kind of still getting his legs from underneath him coming off that torn ACL. So I want to be mindful of that, but he ain't getting any younger. And he does have a full off season ahead of him to get that strength and endurance back. You know, I think he lacked, didn't you think he just kind of, he lacked a step this year. You know, he just looked slow at times. And so, and that's where I think he started kind of getting lazy, and, or not, I mean, not lazy is probably a strong term. I think he got a little complacent out there at times. And that's when you saw him, there were a couple of weird moments, right? Like, remember that one time where it was earlier on in the season, but he kind of tried to like swat the ball out of a guy's hands and kind of let him go down the sideline. Do you remember that game specifically?
Yeah, the Saints game. It was Chuck Clark and Marcus Peters down the sideline. Yeah.
That was bizarre, but it was like, I think he was beaten on the play, you know? And so it's just, it's those types of things made me think, dang, is he trying to kind of pick up for the step that he knows he's lost, at least for the time being. But for Marcus, there's no question, obviously, the decision that looms with him is big. And I think it's just going to come down to a personal decision for him. You know, if the Ravens don't believe that he's worth, you know, top market value at the cornerback position, then he's going to have to ask himself, okay, do I want to go chase that money? Because some other team's going to give it to him, right? I mean, I think we could probably both agree that another team is definitely going to be willing to pay him. It's just a matter of, do you want to continue to stay in a place that you feel like you're home, and or you know, are you going to chase the money at this point in your career? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but I know he's been extremely quiet. He doesn't, you know, he politely declined. I don't know if politely is the right word, but he didn't show up to his the media, you know, portion of the end of season stuff, you know, locker room cleanout and whatnot. So. Yeah, I think, you know, I could totally see them going after a corner at 2022 or at 22. And if, you know, obviously if they're able to address the wide receiver position in free agency, then that's definitely going to be a need right off the top at 22. Assume that they still have the pick, Kev, you know, which could be, you know, that's obviously still up in the air, but be very interesting to see what happens there. They need a lot of depth at that position. And then another big decision I'm sure you were going to cover is Calais Campbell, who's still mulling retirement. And if he goes, we all saw what life was like without him for a couple games there down the stretch. They're going to need some interior defensive line depth for sure.
Yeah, there are a couple questions there. And I will say for Marcus Peters, in the amount of injuries the Ravens suffered in 2021, how serious those were, there was always going to be one or two guys that maybe didn't make it all the way back their first year. I mean, look, what J.K. Dobbins did in 2022, even after undergoing another surgery in the middle of the season, he came back and he was incredible. Ronnie Stanley looked great coming off of his stuff. Gus Edwards, I thought, looked pretty decent overall. But there was always the chance that one of these guys wasn't going to be able to bounce back directly off of the injury. And for the Ravens, it was Marcus Peters. I mean, based off of who we have, I think, gotten to know as a player on the field, there was that drop off. So at this point, it's, does he want to gamble on himself and maybe take that one year deal? It does feel like he really loves Baltimore. You mentioned it. He said it multiple times. He's talked about how much it means to him. And you mentioned that interview. I think it was after the joint practice in Carolina where he talked with the Ravens media and said, like, this has given me my spark back for football. You know, it's ignited his love of the game. And so I believe he would be willing, and I don't want to speak for him, obviously, but I believe he would be willing to take a team-friendly deal. But it comes down to values, right? Just like we're talking about with Lamar, what does he want? You know, what does he value? It comes down to Marcus Peters. What does he value in that situation too? So you mentioned Calais Campbell, another big point. We'll pick that up in the third segment. So coming up, it's Calais Campbell talk. It's more draft talk and more coming up on this Wednesday episode of Locked On Ravens. But first, this episode is brought to you by FanDuel. And the NFL playoffs are here. We're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're the number one sports book in America, FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. New customers join today to get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. And for this weekend, for Championship Sunday, the Bengals actually moved to favorites on the FanDuel Sportsbook. You got them at -126 on the money line. So that's interesting. The Bengals being the favorites in this game, the Chiefs are the underdogs at plus 108. But there is so much you can do on FanDuel. It's all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. We return. It's our final segment of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Allshiker still talking with Bobby Trossett. And Bobby, you mentioned Calais Campbell. And we're talking about the state of the Ravens right now, defense and kind of team as a whole. I think defensive line is the other area you look at, and Campbell, and even you can talk about Justin Houston, are two players who you're wondering, are they going to, one, be playing anywhere next year? But two, if they do come back, are they playing in Baltimore next year? I mean, how important is it if those two guys are able to come back to this defense? I think they're two major shots in the arm.
Yeah, for sure. And before we dive into this too, I just wanted to make sure that I made this clear with the Marcus conversation from the previous segment and just about his physical status. We saw the difference between year one after a Saquon Barkley came back from his torn ACL and year two. It was night and day, you know? And so while there's, I know, an age difference and one has more NFL miles on his legs than the other does, I think we should keep that in mind, that if Marcus is able to have an offseason that's extremely effective from just an endurance standpoint and a strength building standpoint, and he gets that step back, then you could be looking at a guy who, yeah, he's not young for the NFL anymore. He's young in life, you know, but not in NFL years. And so I just wanted to throw that out there because I don't want to just dismiss him. He's done, you know, he's lost a step. It's over. No. And I think Saquon gave everybody hope coming back from torn ACLs, the way that he looked 2 years after versus 1 year. So just want to make that clear. But, you know, Calais and Justin, are you kidding me? I mean, these guys are two of the most prideful players at their position in today's NFL. And in Calais, we're looking at a guy who just finished up year 15. He's got to be exhausted. He's got to be in pain. He's got to be just, I mean, it said it all over his face, you know, you kind of read it all over his face. He is wrestling with the fact that he's on 99 career sacks. You know, he just finished up year 15. He's still chasing a Super Bowl. He loves it in Baltimore. He understands that he can win in Baltimore, and things just haven't gone his way since he came to the Ravens, you know, and they've been close, and they are close. They're very close, but not close enough, especially when you look at every single team remaining right now, you know, and what they have offensively speaking. But this is a championship caliber defense, and there are some pieces that need to be retooled this offseason. I would love to see Calais and Justin back. I understand that they are not what they once were, and they're not an every down type of player. But when you look at the productivity that they were able to post this season, especially Justin right off the bat, matter of fact, I believe he finished with 9.5 sacks, which was his most in several years. In Calais's case, we saw when he went down for a couple games there down the stretch, how different, specifically thinking about that second time they played the Steelers, how different the interior defensive line was against the run. And so the dude still got it. He's a problem. He still commands a double team presence in a lot of ways. And there's just a certain pride that comes with him that I think defines a locker room, defines a defense. And while he doesn't have a Super Bowl under his title, under his belt, he brings a whole heck of a lot from a leadership standpoint. And I don't know if you can measure the value that comes with that. So in a perfect world, I'd love to see these guys back, but I also understand that they're both probably mulling retirement, and maybe even in Justin's case, maybe he's even looking at his productivity over the course of this year and saying to himself, wait a second, you know, these team friendly short-term deals are great. I like it here in Baltimore. It's been fun. I'm worth more though. And maybe the Ravens don't have the space for that this year.
Yeah. I mean, great points. And a couple of notes for Campbell. I feel like if he were to come back, the Ravens signed him to a 2-year deal. So this would be the last year that if he does come back, I feel like maybe a restructure could be in the cards, because right now he would have, I believe it's about an $8.9 million cap hit, and the Ravens could save $6.5 million if they actually release him. So I feel like I'd rather have Campbell on the roster, right? Give me Calais Campbell. He's still very productive. Plus, I feel like he really wants that 100th sack. He's so close to it. He literally won away. So I feel like, you know, do you come back for one more sack? I mean, I think it means that much. Maybe he would. I mean, maybe he comes back for the one sack. And
that's brutal, man. It's brutal when you think about how close he was, right? Yeah. It's just brutal.
And I think also when you're talking about Campbell and Houston, Bobby, we talked about how important Lamar Jackson is in all these conversations. Well, if you're Justin Houston or Calais Campbell and you're looking at a shot for a Super Bowl and Lamar doesn't come back and the Ravens trade him or they go in a different direction or Lamar requests out or whatever happens, if Lamar's not on that roster in 2023, if you're Calais Campbell or Justin Houston and you want to win a Super Bowl and you want to stay competitive, are you saying, well, the Ravens are the rookie quarterback? I think the Ravens roster is good from a whole perspective, but Lamar Jackson elevates it so much. So he's that important to them. So would you go to a quote unquote contender that's like a, I don't know, Kansas City or Buffalo or Philadelphia or someone like that for one more year? Or would you come back to Baltimore? I think that's a very interesting question that maybe those guys might have to answer, assuming Lamar wouldn't be back, but obviously we don't know the answer to that yet.
Kevin, can you imagine if there's a rookie quarterback playing in Baltimore next year and Lamar's elsewhere? Think about the risk that you take as a veteran who knows his clock is ticking, who knows his time, he's on the clock. Like his time could be coming to an end at any point. Could you imagine saying to yourself, I'm just going to stick around and give it a try when there's no guarantee that a former second overall pick in Zach Wilson's going to translate to the NFL? You just don't know. And so, you know, Sarah and I on the vault this week ran through some of the trade proposals that PFF has put out for Lamar. And gosh, I mean, the return is unbelievable. You know, like a team like Houston would be willing to give up, perhaps, maybe to get their guy. It's insane. It's enticing. It's attractive. It's a boatload of picks. But we can't just sit here and assume that those picks are going to translate into wins and are going to translate into a fraction of what Lamar has given this team over the last 5 years. He is a proven winner. Yes, he has not proven that he can consistently win football games in January, and he has not proven now in the last couple of years that he can be durable for a full 17-game season. Understand that, acknowledge it, recognize it. But to sit here and say to yourself, oh man, we're going to roll the dice, you know, and we're going to go after those picks, to me is just, it's extremely, extremely risky. So it's a long way of saying, wow, I don't know how, if my one goal of sticking around at this point, I've made my money, I'm a future Hall of Famer. I'm talking about Calais right now. If my one reason for sticking around is to win a Super Bowl at this point, because I have everything else that's needed and that why I've played this game, I've gotten it, you know, I've achieved it. Why would I stick around and risk potentially getting that last little thing on my list checked off with a rookie quarterback when, you know, the odds are just not in my favor whatsoever?
Right. And listeners of this show have heard me say it countless times. I'm going to say it again. It's like the Family Guy episode where Peter can either get the boat or the mystery box. And you kind of have, I think I saw it somewhere on Twitter where someone compared it to the Lamar situation, where you can either have Lamar, who you know is proven, or you can have the mystery box of a rookie or a bridge quarterback, where the rookie could be Lamar Jackson, or you could get the actual thing and still have Lamar. And I know there's the, you know, you're paying Lamar $45, $50 million per season compared to a rookie who's what, like $8 million, $9 million, whatever it would be. But Lamar's proven. He's proven himself time and time again, so we'll see the whole situation. But, Bobby, I appreciate you hopping on with me. Thank you so much for hopping on and talking Ravens football with me. Please tell people where they can find you and what you're working on. We're in the offseason, full offseason mode now.
That's right. You know, I appreciate the opportunity. And, you know, absolutely, there's going to be times where we return the favor at some point this offseason. Lots to get to. But as you mentioned at the top, Sarah Ellison and I do host The Vault, which is a podcast covering the Ravens. We do daily content and been having a lot of fun as well when time permits, which sometimes it's hard, you know, time is hard to come by. But the Bobby Trossett YouTube channel creates close to daily content too. So there's just a lot going on, and some recent videos have been sort of this Dez Bryant breakdown video of kind of how I went through, you know, just the fact that, yeah, I think the Ravens can mirror what Philadelphia has done in the last year or so, and they can be what the Eagles are right now. But it's going to take some, well, like what we talked about earlier, it's going to take a little bit of a willingness. It's going to take a change in philosophy too. So we'll see. But still banned on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Bobby Baltimore. And I appreciate what you're doing, brother. Keep it going. You know, I'll be listening.
Again, a big shout out and a big thanks to Bobby for hopping on Talking Ravens Football with me. Be sure to go check out all of his work. He does great work, and he does a lot of it. He's everywhere doing his thing. So super appreciative of Bobby. That's all I have for you here today on Locked On Ravens. If you haven't already, be sure to like this video, subscribe to the channel. We're daily Ravens podcast here 5 days per week. We'll be bringing you Ravens news, analysis, updates, and more Monday through Friday. And also in audio form, you can subscribe anywhere you get your audio podcast. We'll make it back here tomorrow with some more Ravens content from us. So be sure to stay tuned for that, and I'll see you right back here tomorrow.